Off the Ball on News Talk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.
Oh, Donegal, your hour has come. Your 2 hours have come, in fact. Between 7 and 9 this evening. More by accident than design, to be honest. We only have Donegal guests on the show. Home to all the greats, Paddy and Shay, McInniff and McGuinness, Seamus Coleman, Enya, Sean McGinley, Pat the Cope, Gallagher. The list is endless. Donegal, your time has come. Tonight in studio between 8 and 9, we have Jason Quigley, formerly the number one middleweight amateur in the world, now closing in on a world title shot. And this hour, Eamon McGee and Kevin Cassidy on mending fences and winning an Ulster title with Guy Dore, with Daniel O'Donnell playing constantly for the next 2 hours. Hello, Dan.
Hello.
What have you walked into?
I don't know. You said 7 until 9.
7 till 9. Well, okay, Daniel plays for the duration of the news round.
Really?
Yeah.
Keep him there in the background.
I'm not familiar with this song, but it's about Donegal.
I've spent my whole life being confused with him at various times, so...
Confused with him?
Well, obviously, the name is very similar.
Oh, Mick Donnell. Sorry, I thought you meant looks-wise, which I was going to say is a bit harsh.
No, it's live one.
It's the name-wise.
Did you? Well, Neil Tracy, come on in, Neil.
I was down with the Rose of Tralee. Was it 3 years ago? A friend of mine was in it.
Mm-hmm. And he was like that kind of interval act before they tallied up all the votes.
He's a pro.
An incredibly impressive man.
He's a pro, yeah.
Incredibly impressive.
Yeah, do you remember years ago? Do you remember, was it Kevin McBride?
You could literally say anything to me now.
Kevin McBride, was that the guy from Monaghan who fought Mike Tyson back in the day?
Mm-hmm.
And I was sort of starting off at the time. I was freelancing, I think I was in the Star at the time. And I, you know, one of these phone calls that I was put through, and he genuinely thought that like this was Daniel O'Donnell calling him off. It was a real disappointment for him.
Have you used your name to get into nice seats in restaurants and places?
No, it's generally just like middle-aged women just make a joke about the name every time and think, I haven't heard it before. And like you have to pretend like, oh, I thought that was Daniel O'Donnell checking in, for example.
He was on Room to Improve recently. Did anyone see that?
I didn't.
It came across well, Daniel.
Yeah,
as a wryer, drier, crueler sense of humour.
Was there not some program involving his wife?
The Travel Show.
Because I got tagged in that several times as well. Like tonight on Magella's, sort of, you know, whatever.
Daniel and Magella.
And I was sort of, I didn't get involved in the promo for that show.
No, he was.
Tweeted on several occasions, urging me to do so.
I can't say I've seen it much, but anytime I've seen it, it's
been good. You did actually know that, like. A very quick recall there.
The whole country fell in love with him on Room to Improve.
Did they?
Yeah. Mm. He was great, honestly.
But they were in love with him already.
He's a funny man. Ah, yeah, but in a kind of dismissive enough way. Whereas actually, there's more to Daniel than the Daniel.
So, sorry, what?
There's more to Daniel, the real Daniel.
More than meets the eye? Than or?
The Daniel that we're all familiar with, you know. It's a running joke for I don't know how long.
Is it?
They want you inside for some reason. So, Donegal, anyway, we're celebrating all things Donegal, Dan.
Can you hear me now, guys, yeah?
We can. We have Eamon McGee and Kevin Cassidy on winning the Ulster title with Guy Dore, which happened very recently. And, I mean, McGee and Cassidy are interesting. So they're from the same parish. And in 2011, Kevin Cassidy very famously cooperated with a book.
He was cut out.
He was cut. Jim McGuinness said, you've cooperated with Declan Bogue's book, you are cut. And he was cut from the squad, and it left poor old Eamon McGee, who had driven to training session after training session with his good friend, where they had talked about winning an All-Ireland one day, in a tricky enough predicament. And, you know, he had to go with Donegal, and Kevin Cassidy had to stay put, and they won an All-Ireland without him, and it pretty much ruined the friendship. But yeah. They're back in 2018, and they've won an Ulster title together, and it seems it's been a year of healing for them. A year of mending fences. So
that's a nice story.
Yeah.
I think they've been celebrating quite heavily, haven't they, Guy Dore, since day one?
That would be fair.
I think they appear to have left a social media footprint in terms of their celebrations.
It's the first county from our favourite county, of course, Donegal, to win an Ulster title since 1975. That's a long time since the Donegal side has been Ulster champions.
And their first ever.
Yeah, their first Donegal County Championship in since about 05-06. They have a new batch of players coming through. The likes of Cassidy's playing at full forward, you know, the aging 37-year-old, but they have a new batch coming through in Guy Dore. Popular Gaeltacht destination, Guy Dore.
Was it?
Yeah. From my neck of the woods, there was a bunch of us who would have headed up to Guy Dore. I didn't go, but classmates all went up to Guy Dore, big Gaeltacht town.
I was down in Ventry. Like,
yeah, that's nice as well.
50 yards down from Poddy.
Yeah.
Literally next door.
Okay. So that's on the way at 7:30. We'll talk to the two lads. And then Jason Quigley in studio between 8 and 9. You familiar much with Quigley?
Well, I actually know Chris McNulty, who's from Donegal, who's a sort of a journalist covering the Donegal area.
Yeah.
And he's like, I think he seems to be pretty close to the Quigley camp and seems to have like travelled to all of the fights, you know. And actually, I saw Quigley, obviously, because there's a Finn Harps connection there, because Quigley went down to Finn Harps' final game of the season when they won promotion recently. I think he was like posting crowd shots and stuff like that. So I sort of followed his career from afar. Mm-hmm. But it seems like he's sort of worked the American circuit and sort of just climbed his way up it slowly, you know, and actually sort of maybe taken some of the unglamorous gigs, but he's sort of getting there now.
He was ranked number one amateur in the world, won a silver medalist at the World Championships, gave up the chance to go to the Olympics, wasn't interested in that, turned pro. He's had 15 pro fights now, and he's had 11 knockouts, 15 wins, 11 knockouts of his 15 wins. Was based over in LA for a lot of it.
I think in LA was a lot of the fights were there, weren't they?
Yeah. But he's come home now. He's based himself in Sheffield with the Ingle Gym because he just found, it's a bit like Rocky III almost, you know? I need to be living in a, life is too nice out there.
Yeah.
Too much sunshine, things are too good.
You switch off.
Yeah. I want the grittier, tougher,
I think I actually heard him on this last year saying he just felt like he didn't deserve all that yet.
Yeah, a little bit. So he's on the way. A fascinating character, really interesting character. Has been out for a year basically with an injury and is back now. He's 27 and he's ranked in the top 10 for certainly in WBC and I think WBA as well. And so the hope might be that a title shot around the corner.
Yeah, what's the next step?
I guess at 27, 15 fights in, a top 10, I guess is to move into contention. 2, 3, 4 fights away from a title shot, he hopes.
Hmm.
There's a texter or a tweet in, lads, what's the story? Is there music playing in the background or is it just me? Says
sort of
certainly confusing for someone who
could
tuned
be
in
on radio.
Looking at all the tabs you have open when you're watching online as well.
Yeah, or it could be on radio in that awkward zone. Like, you know, you're in parts of the country, you're somewhere between. Yeah, you're at like whatever, you could be 105.1 and you're getting the local station, you've driven into the wrong area. Yeah. That's always an annoying thing.
That's Daniel McDonald. Daniel in the background. Hey.
Yeah, Joe.
There we go.
Middle-aged banter from Joe there.
I had to Google Donegal's most famous people, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Who would you say is Donegal's most famous son or daughter?
I'm not. Seamus Coleman just instantly springs to mind.
Shay Gibbon, Packy
Bonner.
Packy Bonner.
Like, they do. There is sporting ones that come to mind.
Packy, Shay, Seamus Coleman. Yeah. See, the Premier League is an international institution now. You would do well to beat Seamus Coleman. He's known all over the world.
Yeah. But then you will think of, I mean, in fairness, it is a pretty impressive Gaelic football county, so you could pick any number of names there.
Well, that's true. But that's not global.
No, I know, of course.
Jim McGuinness is getting global.
That's true. He's big in China.
Big in China.
Well, it's not that big now. It's not there anymore.
Anyway.
Briefly in China.
Briefly.
More to the point.
So, yes, we have Eamon McGee and Kevin Cassidy coming up just after 7:30 or so, and then Jason Quigley. We've already recorded that Quigley chat. He was in last week. What a gent. Honestly, great fella. Really, really good fella. And he was very open and interesting on a whole host of things. So that is on the way. And then the football show, Dan, will be us talking about Premier League goodness of a midweek. So the news round is brought to you this evening with Screwfix.ie, championing the trade, a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products. And Neil, we're trying to pick through team news as it comes in.
Yeah, bits and pieces, and that's why I was late getting my microphone turned on, because I was just scrambling to get the Man City and Watford team news. That starts at 8 o'clock.
Seeming here there was a microphone issue 2 days out of five, I think, when we start off. The first 10 minutes are a write-off with microphone issues, especially if Kenny Cunningham's in. So we'll forgive you. Sorry, Man City team news.
Yeah, Man City team news. So, as expected, Sergio Aguero is out again. They're going to start Ederson in goals, Walker, Company Stones, and Delph at the back, Fernandinho and David Silva and Bernardo Silva in midfield, and then Leroy Sané, Riyad Mahrez, and Gabriel Jesus up front for them. Watford, they're going to go with Foster, Holebas, Cabasele, Cathcart, and Femina, Doucouré, Hughes, Success, and Shalaba, as well as Pereira and Troy Deeney
Success.
Up front.
What a name, Success.
Well, they haven't had much success against Man City. They've lost their last 8 games against them in all competitions, and 3 of their last 4 matches at home as well, so they're on a pretty awful run after that great start they had.
Increasingly, nobody has much success against Manchester City. Mm-hmm. Henry Winter, we might touch on it in the football show, did a big interview at Raheem Sterling over the weekend, went to visit him at his house. Interesting, you know, his father passed away when he was very young, and Sterling is certainly conscious of the criticism he gets, you know. Like, there have been stories about how he's got not one, not two, but 3 garage doors for his many cars.
My God.
And then it turned out that behind two of the garage doors is a purpose-built gym that Raheem Sterling has built for himself to try and become the best player he can possibly be.
Yeah, he went through that shameful phase of buying presents for his mother as well. That was a controversial one, wasn't it?
I mean, overcompensated by buying budget flights.
The thing about Sterling, it's shocking, really. So Sterling, when he was at his QPR days, I heard Henry Winter talking about this, so I haven't actually read the full piece yet, but I presume it's in the piece. But Henry Winter was talking about it over the weekend. When Sterling was trying to make his way in the game as a 14, 15-year-old, even a bit younger at QPR, he would be at training and getting texts from his mother saying, "We don't have accommodation tonight. We'll let you know where we're staying." So they didn't have steady roof over their heads for I don't know how long, but certainly a quotient of his teenage years. So he was going into QPR, seeing all the wealth, I'm sure, and the trappings, trying to make it in the game, and then checking his phone afterwards to see where he was staying that night.
Yeah.
So, yes, he's bought his mother a house.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of the players who've come from a slightly difficult background.
Sure.
In that regard, there tends to be a bizarrely sniffy attitude towards them then spending money to some degree.
How dare
and
they?
These sort of uncomfortable undertones with the whole thing. He also had the temerity to leave Liverpool at one point, which tends not to be a popular thing because the old... There's always a very sort of visible and vocal Liverpool presence in the media as well, I think.
Mm.
And that maybe might contribute in some way to a negative perception.
And the fact that he went to City, the upstart,
the
new money.
Yeah. I mean, there's no real romance in the City story, to be fair. But I can see where that might have contributed in some way to
the situation, we'll touch on it in the football show. It's in the Telegraph. We can have a read of it in the meantime. So that is on the way. So Watford City, the first of... four games this evening. That's the 8 o'clock game.
Yeah, the other three start at 7:45. Joe, Bournemouth, they're going to be hoping to end a four-game losing streak. They host Huddersfield. They haven't lost five matches in a row since March 2013, way back when they were in League One. Huddersfield are without the suspended Steve Mounier. He lost his appeal to the FA after his red card at the weekend against Brighton. But with the rest of the team news now, here's Ian Wilding.
Bournemouth make two changes to the team that lost to Manchester City at the weekend. Jefferson Lerma and David Brooks come in. Mings and Sermon drop to the bench while Dan Gosling's injured. Huddersfield make one enforced change to their lineup. Steve Mounier starts the first of a three-match ban while De Potcher comes in for him. From the Vitality Stadium, it's Bournemouth at home to Huddersfield.
Also tonight, you've Brighton against Crystal Palace at the Amex Stadium, both on the back of wins at the weekend. The sides met three times last season. Palace took 4 points from six in the league, but they lost 2-1 at the Amex Stadium when the teams met in the FA Cup third round. Alan Lewis has the team news from there.
Two changes for Brighton from the team which beat Huddersfield at the weekend. Bruno, who picked up a knock in that victory, is out and replaced at fullback by Montoya. And top scorer Glenn Murray starts. He's in for Adone, despite the Romanian scoring on Saturday. Palace are unchanged from the win over Burnley at the weekend. It means Wilfried Zaha will play up front. He scored five goals in his last eight games against Brighton. From the Amex, it's Brighton against Crystal Palace.
There's a text in, lads. Any word on the Gibraltar game? I saw there's 2,300 people allowed into the stadium. How many Irish tickets are going? Says Fred.
Yeah, well, this is going to be a story, I think, to follow, because it's March 23rd. It's Mick McCarthy's first game back, and previously we played Gibraltar 3 years ago, and the game was moved to Faro in Portugal. But the chat was at the draw on Sunday that Gibraltar were adamant the game was going to be played there, and pretty much as of today, they've told the FAI that's where the game is going to be. And UEFA, I still think, will have to green light it. But so 2,300 capacity stadium, plastic pitch and all of that as well. But you do the sums on it, and really it's going to be between 250-300 tickets for travelling Irish fans, and some of that would be like sponsors, VIPs, official travel companies,
VVVIPs.
It's going to be what is the definition of that? And we'll probably have a few I recall a game in Andorra a couple of years back where I think the capacity was 850. It was sort of fans in the press box and stuff like that, that type of thing going on. So just because there's going to be so much interest in that game, it's going to be a challenge for the FAI.
Why interest? Because it's a nice part of the world.
It's the first match for McCarthy, and there is a portion of Irish fans who you go to every game, you see them. Like, they start the year and they book their trips and they go to these Ireland games.
Yeah.
And Yeah, the FAI faced issues going back to Scotland a couple of years back. I know this isn't an amazing quality of game in the sense that Ireland should win quite comfortably still. But there's going to be fans who want to be there who may not get there. And that's always an awkward discussion or awkward debate to have.
And what about the counterpoint that, well, frankly, you can't do everything you want in life and those fans will just get over it fairly quickly and Gibraltar should be entitled to play their games at home?
Oh, I agree they should play their games at home. I'm completely in support of that. Okay. I just hope, you know, that whatever way the tickets are dispensed, that they're dispensed in the right way, and that in terms that I don't know, they do have a portal there now where fans record, you know, how many games they've gone to and stuff. And okay. I sort of hope that but they have to weight that between the other sections and official supporters clubs and all this stuff. Yeah. So it's just something that you have to play right and so get it right.
Try and get it to the hardcore dedicated fans as opposed to the Dan McDonalds of the world who want to go to Marbella nearby for a week afterwards.
Well, exactly. Yeah. Well, I mean, that'd be more the Joe Malloy's of this
the
world.
Daniel O'Donnell's and the Dan McDonalds.
That'd be more of your kind of thing. You're like, there's some good golf courses near there and I could take in the game and have a good meal. No. You know, like that'd be your...
Those types.
They're the types that shouldn't...
I agree.
Your types. Basically, it's people like you shouldn't be going to that game, Joe. That'd be my view.
Who are off the ball going to send? Has Nathan put his hand up yet?
Oh, I would think that one. Yeah, I'd say there'd be a few volunteers for that one. I might throw my hat in the ring.
Yeah,
just to bug you.
you're welcome in the press box, but just not taking a fancy.
Okay, no, that's a great greet. Yeah. So where are we in terms of games then this evening?
Just one other one to get through. West Ham against Cardiff at the London Stadium. So Cardiff yet to win away from home this season. Just 1 point in those six games on the road so far. The team news as follows. West Ham, Declan Rice starts for them. They go with Fabianski in goals. Rice is part of the defence with Masuaku, Diop and Ogbonna, Antonio, Noble, Snodgrass, Anderson, Arnautovic and Hernandez complete the team, while Cardiff, who got a win there on Friday night against... Wolves, my God, yeah.
How could you forget?
For me.
Junior Hoylett was a hell of a goal, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. He starts again tonight. So they've Etheridge, Bennett Morrison, Mangan, Sol Bamba, Rawls, Harry Arter plays, Camarasa, Gunnarsson, Hoylett and Patterson complete the lineup.
So Jose Mourinho then?
Yeah, MUTV are the latest to feel the wrath of Jose after he refused to give them an update on his squad ahead of tomorrow's Premier League meeting with Arsenal. United are going to be without a number of players for the match. Ashley Young is suspended. Victor Lindelof, Chris Smalling and Eric Bailly all missed Saturday's 2-2 draw with Southampton through injury, while Luke Shaw, Phil Jones and Romelu Lukaku all picked up knocks during the match. But while speaking to MUTV, Mourinho refused to go into more detail when he was asked about those injuries, saying it would be giving Arsenal a competitive advantage. He said, "I don't want to update you. I would like Arsenal TV to make the same questions, but they don't. They hide everything from the inside, so why should I answer to you?" He's also denied quotes attributed to him where he apparently said United would need a miracle to get into the top four by the end of the season. The quotes came from an interview the Portuguese manager gave to a Brazilian TV station. However, Mourinho is adamant that his team can finish in the Champions League spots.
I don't know if I say or if I didn't, but if I use that that word, is not what I feel at all. You know, I think we have like 8 or 9 points from the fourth, something like that, 9, 8, 10, something like that. I don't think we need a miracle at all. I think we need a good run of results. I think we don't need to waste points where we shouldn't waste. We need some players to perform better than they are. We need as a team to perform better than we are. But far from a miracle, not at all.
That's actually fair enough, that part. If I did say it, I didn't mean it that way. I can live with that. That's not as outrageous and crazy as his previous two has been. I mean, you can criticise Mourinho over everything. I kind of think that's fair enough.
Yeah, well, it's actually interesting to hear the audio, because denying he didn't say something that makes it sound like this thing was completely fabricated, which actually he's not really saying that it was fabricated. He may have said that.
If I said it, I don't quite mean that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think we all know that he says things he doesn't mean on a regular basis. You'd spend your whole life poring over his previous comments.
I would presume the interviewers at MUTV just can't wait for him to go.
Oh, it's
just so difficult. Any update on the game tomorrow? It's the vaguest question, and he's like on a straw.
I mean, if you work for the official club station, if that's your brief, there's certain things you expect. Team news would be one of the things you might expect.
I would have thought so, yeah.
But it's good to have MUTV back in the news, because they haven't been in the news since Roy Keane, really, to be honest. What have MUTV done for the previous 12? Like, basically, the only thing that MUTV is notable for is things that haven't been broadcast on it.
Yeah.
But the best post-match they ever had of all time, which was trashed, and the team news for tomorrow.
It's quite amazing that the Roy Keane MUT video never surfaced. They really must have got rid of a double sharp. Like Ferguson must have
Ferguson
stood
was there.
As
if,
Ashburn.
If Moisey was in charge at the time, that would have been out.
Yeah.
It would have been out by the following morning. But Fergie, like, you reckon he would have got it done efficiently.
Yes.
It was done. He would have overseen it himself.
Yeah, I would have thought so. But it's a pity though, isn't it? It'd be great to have seen it.
I think we got a flavour of it.
No, I
wonder if would it be one of these things where it wouldn't live up to the billing of the leaks surrounding it.
I think it would have been far tamer than we all hope.
Yeah, so maybe just better to have the illusion of what it could have been.
John. Yeah. Okay, I'll accept that. So the controversy from Twerkgate continues, I see.
Yeah, last night's Ballon d'Or ceremony has been overshadowed by claims of sexism after DJ Martin Solveig asked the inaugural winner of the Women's Award, Ada Hegerberg, if she knew how to twerk. The Norwegian Football Association say they're pleased to see the criticism of his comments, adding that the focus should be on her football achievements and that the male winner, Luka Modric, wouldn't have been asked to do the same. Solveig later apologised in a post on Twitter, saying, "I'm a little bit amazed as to what I am reading on the internet. I, of course, didn't want to offend anyone. This comes from a distortion of my English level and my English culture level, which is obviously not enough because I didn't mean to offend anyone and didn't know this could be seen as such an offence." Hegerberg says she won't be letting it ruin her night, though.
He came to me after and he was really, really sad that it went that way. I didn't think about it in that moment. I didn't consider it as a sexual harassment or anything. I was just happy to get a dance and celebrate winning the Ballon d'Or, to be honest.
Okay, that is our news round done for this evening. I should remind you, this Friday, December 7th, we're going to be live from the home of Dolphin Rugby Club, Musgrave Park, for the latest Out the Ball Roadshow in association with Heineken Rugby Club, previewing Munster against Cast in the company of Mick Galway, Gary Halpin and Johnny Murphy, and some legends from Munster Rugby. The show is completely sold out. We have the very last few VIP tickets to give away to be in with a chance of winning. Just identify our mystery voice, who says there's a big improvement in the news round when Neil is on instead of Richie.
Then the attention to details tonight was at an all-time high for the first time this season.
I think we can all agree with
that. I agree with that, yeah.
Apart from the microphone thing at the start.
Yeah, that was
actually,
poor.
Yeah.
Then the attention to details tonight was at an all-time high for the first time this season.
Talking about details, though, so.
Do we know who that is?
No.
I think that's tough. That's tough, isn't it? Okay, one more time.
Then the attention to details tonight was at an all-time high for the first time this season.
Text your name and answer 53106. If nobody's getting that right, we'll give a clue later on for 30 cents. We'll give you a shout out after the show if you get it right. That's the latest Off the Ball Roadshow in association with Heineken Rugby Club. So, short break, and then we're back with the Guidor pair of Eamon McGee and Kevin Cassidy, Ulster football champions.
Off the Ball on Newstalk.
Thanks to Screwfix.ie. Championing the trade with a choice of over 20,000 quality trade products.